Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs pick up a great bounce-back win in Boulder, coming back from down double digits to rebuff Colorado. Now it's back to Provo for two in a row, and we're covering all of it with the coach and freshman Yegor Demin next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right. Yes, what a night, what a crowd. A good evening once again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It's our exclusive weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We've got a wonderful studio audience. Studio audience. Yeah. And we are live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's loaded show, we'll look back on a crucial conference clash in Colorado that resulted in BYU's first away win of the season. Deep Blue will feature Mawut Magg, who was our studio guest on this program last week. Our special guest on the program this week is none other than freshman sensation Yegor Demin. We'll have our traditional game show segment for Yeggs and some Q&A for the coach and Yegor and a BYU basketball trivia question later in the program. Let's begin tonight's show by bringing in the man who on Tuesday night in Boulder checked off another box on his list of first things to do as BYU got him his first true away win as the Cougs head coach. Please help me welcome back into Studio C, the head coach of your BYU Hoopsters, Kevin Young.
Coach Young, good to see you again.
You too.
All right, here we go. Great crowd again for you.
Yeah, love it. Here we go.
Love coming off wins too, isn't it? Good.
It makes the show better.
It does. We are going to get to the Colorado game, which was awesome in Boulder. Since we last met here in the studio, you played two games. You had the Utah game on the weekend, then you go to Boulder. First up, quick thought on your first rivalry experience.
Disappointing. You know, we were right there, had a lot of chances. You know, it was take the rivalry aside and all that. It was just it was a really good basketball game. You know, I thought it was back and forth. Both teams made a lot of really big plays down the stretch. You know, disappointed because we had our chances and came up short. But in terms of the rivalry, I thought it was a fun atmosphere. You know, it's got the blood flowing, I think, for everybody in there. So that was fun. And honestly, was pretty just pleased with. I thought it was a classy environment, you know, for as a hated of a rivalry as it could have been. So just disappointed though to come up short.
But the good thing is you get them again and you get them at your place.
Yeah, absolutely, and definitely we'll have that one circled on the calendar. And you know, I know our guys will really want to get back at them.
Gave you a bounce back opportunity and another road game, back to back roadies, and so it's a tough situation to go into coming off a loss. Responded really well in Boulder.
We did, yeah. I thought. You know, I think what set that game up for us was just the preparation our guys had the day before in practice was probably the best practice we've had all year.
Yeah, what made it that way? Like, what made it special?
Yeah, just the guys came in with a level of focus. They really took to the message of, hey, we feel like we're right there. We got to find some solutions to a couple of areas we're falling short and double down on areas we feel like have been good. They took well to that. You know, I thought our leaders stepped up and had practice going in the right direction. And, even going to Colorado, getting down early, you know, we didn't let that deter us. The guys, that 10-point lead they had just shrunk like that. And then obviously the second half was pretty incredible.
I thought it was great, though, because you were you're coming off a loss. You have what you think is a good practice on Monday. Then you do face adversity. You do find yourself down double digits. There could have been some self-doubt creeping in. It did not happen that way at all.
No, it didn't. You know, and I think just the determination our guys had. I think that obviously that run was big. But going into the locker room, you know, at this point, we've been in that situation a lot, being up at halftime at home and on the road. And,
yeah.
Just felt like the message was, hey, we got to go take this. You know, we've been here before, but we've let some slide. We got to go take this. And, I thought the starting group in particular was really good. That was probably the most I've ridden a five-man combination.
Yeah.
They really had it clicking. And then I thought Mihailo's minutes were really – instrumental because of some foul troubles, but also some matchups. And he came in after not playing for a while and gave us a good spark.
About your starting five for a quick second. Not that you designed it this way at all, but I kind of love how each guy has his own little niche, if you will. Of course, Yegor is the supreme ball handler, and then Trevin's a three-point specialist, and Richie's kind of a do-it-all guy. Mawut is a standout defender, and Cabe is your rim presence. They all have to do other things, but they each kind of specialize for you.
They do, and I think that's why that group kind of works together well. I think just the chemistry, we talked about that today at practice, just some nuances. Like, they're one of the plays in the second half, we was in transition, and then Mo ends up setting a little flare screen for Trev. He gets a transition three from Yegor making the pass. So I think guys starting to, be a little bit more comfortable knowing where guys' spots are. And, that takes time.
How nice was it to get the first away win of the season, too?
It was really important. One, because just where we are at in the season. We needed to get a win, needed to bounce back. But that, and then also just the sheer fact of just, kind of breaking that stigma of just being able to get a win on the road. And then, just look at the league. Every night in the league, anyone can beat anybody. The standings are pretty tight, across the league, and every game's huge.
Sometimes we'll sit down post-game, you and I, at the broadcast table, and you're unwinding from your game. We'll just kind of go through the games around the league, and almost always the eyebrows come up because you didn't see one coming one way or the other. It's the way it is.
For sure. And that's one of the reasons that our league is so fun to play in and coach in, is because, every night is competitive. You got great players, great coaches, great venues, and great fan bases. So it's, you really feel like there's, so much on the line every night.
In that venue on Tuesday in Boulder, I have my headset on, but I've got the crowd mic and the effects feed, and the BYU crowd was as loud as anything Colorado's fan base did that night. How cool, and you're seeing it now, to go on the road and know the Cougar Nation is everywhere. And as soon as the game ended, you like walked up to the people right behind us there, the people in blue, some people you knew, some are just fans of yours, and gave them a big shout out for what they meant to you guys on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, it's super cool, super unique. I think other teams are, I'm sure they hate it, if you feel like you're walking into, a home game a lot of times. But, I know the guys really like it, feel supported. And like I said the other night, just feel like you have an ally when you are out on the road.
It is awesome, though, right? This is a scene everywhere you go, what you're seeing right here on the screen.
Yeah, it's awesome for me to experience for the first time. I think some of our returners, just they're used to it at this point.
Right.
But for me and a lot of the newcomers, it's cool to experience it for the first time.
Okay, now we're in the back half of the season, as it turns out, really kind of halfway mark. What do you think you know about your guys halfway through?
I think our guys are really, like I said before, starting to come together. I think they trust in each other. I think they believe in each other. I think schematically, I think where we've really found some strides over the last probably 2 weeks is just our pace of play. We're trying to play a lot faster. We're pushing the ball more after makes and misses. We call it kick aheads. We're just kicking the ball ahead and playing off of some of that pace that we're creating with our throw aheads, and that's been really good. I think the guys have really taken to that. And then defensively, we found a stride after kind of that post-Providence where we really got our defense a little bit more compact. Now we're starting to kind of mix in our zone a little bit more, mm-hmm. and kind of keeping teams off balance a little bit there. So I think schematically those are the things that have really kind of come together.
All right, let's do take a look back at what happened on the Tuesday, because after BYU's Saturday setback in Salt Lake, it was over the Rockies to Boulder for a late Tuesday night tip at Colorado. Let's look back now at stats and highlights presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. And we will, as we always like to do, spotlight some special player performances. Richie Saunders finds himself top five in the league in Big 12 play in scoring and shooting. Had 25 at Colorado, 10 of 15 from the field. He leads the league in league play in three-point percentage. He's second in field goal percentage. He's an effective shooter and scorer. And once BYU went down 10, Coach, it was Richie's personal 7-0 run that kind of got you back.
Yeah, that was a big stretch that you just mentioned there. But even just watching these clips, I think what stands out the most about him when you look at his numbers is just the efficiency piece. I saw some graphic the other day. I was watching a game, you know, just field goal percentage leaders in the league, and he was, you know, in the top seven. I think a lot of the other guys are big guys.
You expect them to be big. Yeah.
So for a guard to be in there is really impressive. But he just makes quick decisions. You know, he's got an unbelievably quick release. And then where he's, I think, really gotten, you know, he already kind of had it, but we've doubled down on it is just his quick decision on the perimeter. You know, he catches and rips. Guys can't keep him in front. You know, he makes really solid decisions once he gets into the paint. And, you know, he's really been a catalyst for us.
He's had four games this season with 25 or more points, and three of them have come in league.
Which is huge. You know, he's a guy we can, you know, rely on. He the consistency part has been there. I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit more with defenses being keyed in on him as much as they are. But, yeah, man, he's been unbelievable.
Next up, Trevin Nell. He's always had it figured out from deep. He has now 205 career three-pointers. He was 4 of 6 from the arc in Boulder, opened up 4 for 4, finishes with 14 points, an assist, and a steal. And he's now tied for 7th most games at BYU with 3 or more 3s in a single game. He went for 4 on Tuesday.
Yeah, he got going. You know, that stretch in the second quarter, it felt like he was hitting 3s every time down. But yeah, I think give credit to his teammates, you know, in terms of the screening and the passing to help him get those shots. And then obviously he's the one that has to deliver to make them. But again, I think that speaks to some of the chemistry starting to come together. You know, that was as fun of a stretch as we've had, you know, where he went on that little bonanza.
And if you span halftime, I think once they went up 10, Colorado, it was 39-6 the other way, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think it's really, you know, we were able to hold them to one shot, get out in transition, and then even when they did, you know, put it through the net, we did a great job of being organized and running good offense.
Okay, now for tonight's special guest, who'll be joining us later, Yegor Demin. Yegor, he's 2nd in the Big 12 in assists per game now, 7th in assist to turnover ratio. He had 7 assists in this game, all came after halftime. 4 steals for him, that ties his career high. He's also a big steals per game guy in the Big 12, and he had a highlight reel through the legs drop off to Richie in this game as well. Here it is.
Yeah, there you see it right there. Yeah, that was pretty incredible. But no, I think he's starting to figure things out a little bit. You know, I think the game's slowing down a little bit. Even when he's facing pressure, he's starting to be a bit more composed out there. I actually like the way he started the game out by attacking the rim. You know, his passing gets so much attention that, you know, we were looking at some statistics, and he's one of the most efficient guys in the country in terms of attacking the basket and being able to finish at the rim. So those first 2 layups he had, I think, kind of got him going a little bit. I thought, you know, him going 4 of 7 from the field, you know, was more of an efficient night for him. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the passing always speaks for itself.
You put a lot on his shoulders from the get-go, and he's a freshman. He's a true freshman in this country. And we go around the league. We know there's not a lot of freshmen in this league starting or having the kind of impact he's having on teams.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we knew, you know, that was, you know, something that would, you know, probably work against us when we put this team together, but I think he's answered the call. You know, I think in some of the games we've lost, he's had some critical, you know, turnovers or a missed shot here or whatnot, but, you know, to have the resiliency that he has to be able to, you know, be able to be coached out of those mistakes and then show up the next game and be better, I think he's trending up. I've said this before about him, you know, just trying to envision the best version of him by the time March comes.
Let's take a look at Mawut next. You put him in the starting lineup a few games ago. I think he's giving you what you hoped he would, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. You know, I think he's getting healthier. You know, when he was still coming off the ACL injury, you know, from last season. But I think he's moving better, and he's playing, you know, his brand of basketball, which is, you know, he's highly intense. You know, he can really guard multiple positions. I think offensively he's really starting to figure out how he can kind of, you know, play within our style and the things that we're asking him to do, and he's been a bright spot for sure.
Yeah, 4 double-figure scoring games in his last 9, and Tuesday in Boulder, he ties his BYU high in both points and rebounds.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's really starting to come into his own, get more comfortable. Obviously, the role is sort of kind of crystallized for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of knows, you know, when he's going to be out there, who he's going to be out there with, which I think helps, and then yeah, I think it's really helped us, you know, get off to some better defensive starts, having them out there as well.
And he's seen it all in the college game. He's been around a long time.
He has, you know, and there's, you know, there's not a real replacement for that level of experience. I think it shows its head in a lot of ways, and you know, I think the guys really respect him because of it.
Okay, final stat line from Tuesday. BYU wins it kind of going away. 83-67 is your final score. You see that field goal percentage number and the three-point number. Those are both season highs, and they come in the league game.
Yeah, it was big. You know, it was that second half was pretty incredible, where a lot of that, you know, the efficiency was off the charts in the second half. You know, the three-point shooting, you know, we feel like we're a much better three-point shooting team than we've shown holistically this year. And hopefully that's something that we can continue to do, because, you know, even with the turnovers, which have really been our biggest, even in that game we turned it over too much, but if we can get those down just by a couple a game, you know, just even two or three less turnovers a game, shoot it at the clip that I think we're capable of, I mean, there's no reason why we can't, you know, continue to climb in these offensive metrics.
Yeah, getting just a couple of shots off more per game could be a difference maker. Let's take a look at some specialized stats from Tuesday night. We'll take a look at the rebound percentages, assist percentage, et cetera. Grab more offensive rebounds than they're used to giving up. Mm-hmm. The free throw numbers ended up kind of being a wash on this night because they shot so many, but it was going to be inconsequential on this night. And assist rate, that's where you were against Colorado, what they were giving up the other way. So on the whole, you did a lot of what you wanted to do that way.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive rebounding percentage is something that, you know, we you know, look at quite a bit. Basically what that means is we're getting back one in every third miss, which gives us more possessions, which does negate some of the turnovers. But again, if we can clean up some of those turnovers and keep that offensive rate up, you know, I'm not that smart of a guy, but the math usually works out. If you get more shots than the other team, you usually have a better chance of winning, and that's kind of the message we tell our guys.
That is the way it works, usually. let's take a look at team sheet numbers now for BYU and compare them to where we were on this show last week at this time. A nice little bump up in the net and in KenPom and in the BPI, and you see that BYU is now 12-6 on the season, 3-4 in conference play. Interestingly, Coach, 3-4 is the same Big 12 record BYU had last year at this time, so you're right in the mix to where you hopefully get to at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the conference is so competitive. I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that are kind of bunched in that same area, give or take a game. So, you know, we just want to keep getting better, you know, every time we get out on the practice floor and every game that we play, you know, continue to build a rhythm and, you know, just take it game by game and stack up our resume.
You're in the meat of the Big 12 schedule now, roughly a third of the way through the conference campaign at 3-4. Let's see what lies ahead for BYU starting on Saturday. First of two back-to-back home games, you got to Cincy and Baylor at the Marriott Center, back on the road, and you see the way things proceed into March. The only game left out there is the final game of the season, which we'll see next week when we get the schedule out, and that's the game home to Utah in the second week of March. But this is going to take you into the month of March, and again, no easy games or weeks in the Big 12, and a really interesting race right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, there seems like there's a lot of parity, you know, across the league. Feel like any team could beat anyone on a given night. So I think the big thing for us is we just take it game by game. You know, we try to get better every day, like I said, in practice, and then, you know, prepare ourselves for our opponent, not try to, you know, look too far ahead. You know, obviously we want to take care of our home games and then go out on the road and, you know, give it our best shot to try to knock some of these teams off in their buildings.
You got it. That's segment one of tonight's show. Time for our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern, BYU TV, and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue reintroduces us to Mawut Mag as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us. Back after this.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, where it's time for this week's presentation of Deep Blue. More than two decades ago, senior Mawut Mag's family escaped a civil war in Sudan, fleeing 12,000 miles to Melbourne, Australia. While there, Mawut followed in his brother's footsteps and found an outlet and an opportunity in the game of basketball. This new love for basketball has allowed him to succeed on the floor while he sees the world. This is Deep Blue with Mawut Mag.
Me and my wife, all my family, we come from South Sudan.
Sudan was rocked by civil war for many years, and that led all the way to the separation of the country into two countries.
Life is still very much difficult for the everyday person. They just don't have access to the best education. A lot of the time, people are only having just a single meal because of the financial difficulties.
Many families moved out of the country and became refugees in neighboring countries in East Africa.
They say Australia is a very good country. It's very safe, good for a family. We fill the form and we go to interview and they approve us to come to Australia.
When they get to the West, and that's for the lucky ones, by the way, the lucky few that are able to get that, they want to sacrifice everything for their children. So then their children now become that generation, the next generation, that creates that kind of better chance for the family.
We decided to go back and visit, and the primary reason was because my mother wanted to go back and visit her family. We'd only been in the village for about a week.
During the night, one night, we got woken up around 2, 3 a.m. and told us to pack our bags, we gotta go.
And then sort of just flee for safety.
We got informed that the rebels are coming and they're not coming here to do anything pleasant. First time seeing AK-47 and seeing dead bodies on the ground, so it was pretty dramatic.
I was very much disappointed that, you know, after so many years of conflict and fighting, that, you know, that there'd still be people out there that were still, they had the energy in them to want to still pick up a gun and fight. I just thought that, you know, at that point that the country had suffered enough. Like, why would you want to go back?
Approximately about two weeks or a week and a little bit that we're fleeing on feet and walking a lot. It was hot. We had to carry our luggage with us. And one time, I think it was during the nighttime in the evening, the guys were deciding whether if we should leave in during the nighttime or in the morning. And thankfully, we decided to leave at nighttime. And once we left and it was the morning, we got told and informed that the same place we were at the shore got raided by rebels. And it was very, you know, very emotional. I was very scared and frightened because I was young. But it's just an eye-opener that, and it's a true testament just to know that, you know, you just never know what's going to happen and tomorrow's never promised. And that day moving forward, I just, you know, started to humble myself and try to be more appreciative of the things I have rather than complaining that the things I don't have.
Going back home really did reinforce the fact that moving here to Australia, I was able to do so much more that I just would not have been possible had we stayed back in Sudan. Had we not decided to, you know, move up north for my parents to find work and then eventually come here, my life would have just been completely different.
Once I made it back to Australia, you know, I was very fortunate to start playing sports. You know, I was really tall. I was the tallest in my family and, you know, I'm a little copycat, so I copied my brother. And I see my brother attend this one team called Longhorns Basketball, coached by and the founder by Coach Mignon.
And I said, "This is your little brother?" I thought he was 16 and he was only 13. And I said, "Oh, he's on the team." I didn't even see him play. Physically, he was just built for the game.
Coach Mignon brought me to the side and just spoke to me and presented an opportunity for me to go to the States. He's seen how I developed and how I was prevailing and getting better every day. And he thought that would be best if I wanted to play the highest levels or reach my goals was to go out to the States and compete over here.
To be honest, at the beginning, my parents were very much against the idea.
Yeah, very hard because we don't know anyone there. But my wife decided to go there to play. So we say, okay.
A part of the problem was that they couldn't foresee it. But once my wife was there in the US and they saw how focused he was, they couldn't have been more happier for him.
When he got his opportunity, he grabbed it with two hands and he worked hard in the United States, graduated from high school and was able to get a scholarship to go to college.
And once I got to Rutgers, I did my whole 4 years there. I graduated, and then I decided to enter the transfer portal. I felt like it was just time for, you know, change of scenery.
You know, Mawut's story is one that's just the ultimate perseverance story. He's a guy who brings a ton of basketball experience, which is extremely trumped by his life experience.
Had to get on you guys a little bit. talking about, you never know when we're going to need somebody. You never know what happens. And lo and behold, Richie goes down first play of the game. Mag comes in and plays his absolute freaking tail off, okay?
It's amazing. Like, he shows up every day with a smile on his face. But I don't know that everybody on our team even really understands the hardships that he's been through.
I'm sure, you know, wanting to provide for his family and create a future for himself, that's his drive. You know, that's his motivation.
I think he has not forgotten, though, where he comes from, and, you know, really wants to, I think, do proud for South Sudan and his African heritage.
You know, he gets up every morning. You know, he stays late at night. You know, works on his jump shot. You know, works on different aspects of his game because he wants to impact us in a positive way and, you know, set his future up.
He gets it from my parents that, like, they work very hard, and I think he just, like, wants to be like them. Like, it's just that they've got us to this point, so it's up to us to now find our way.
Knowing my parents have sacrificed so much, it makes me feel grateful and a little bit special as well. I feel very special, especially knowing that they were parents who chose not to make the move.
Without them, this wouldn't be possible, and they did the best they could to give us, each one of us, an opportunity to have a better life and be successful. So shout out to my parents, you know, love them both, and yeah, thank you to them.
Yeah, keep doing well. You finish your uni and you keep going with the basketball, and you got a good friend, got school, very good, you are happy with the school, and you got a friend, new friend, it's very good. We just told him, keep going the same thing.
Yeah, it was great having him in the studio with us recently, and a great feature on Mawit and his family there.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, he's you see stuff like that. You know, basketball is just another thing. You know, all the stuff him and his family had to go through, and for him to kind of, you know, find his way, you know, just in this world, period. You know, through all that turmoil is really inspiring. I mean, it's one of the things that stood out to me when we were looking at him in the portal, just bringing a guy with, you know, that much life experience into our culture, into our team. And, you know, even, and I think it really just speaks to his character. Like, even when he wasn't playing, you know, didn't have a role as big as he does now, I think some of those clips, that Wyoming game was kind of his breakout game. Mm-hmm. And just to see the joy on his teammates' faces, you know, I think speaks to, you know, how much respect they have for him, because he's just been really steady, you know, since he's gotten here, and now he's stepping up in a major way. So it's good to see, you know, other people respect a guy with that much character.
Yeah, stepping up as a starter for you now, for sure. All right, our special guest tonight was born and raised in Russia, then continued his basketball journey in Spain before coming stateside to continue and commence his college career for Kevin Young and the Cougs at BYU. In only a few short months, he's established himself as one of the brightest young stars in the game and is already among the most popular players to wear the Y. Please help me welcome into Studio C for his Kevin Young show debut, freshman point guard, Yegor Demin. Hello, Yegor.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Cougar Nation loves you. How does it feel to be embraced by the people we call Cougar Nation?
Man, I mean, people here are special. I already said 100 times, I never been surrounded by that type of, you know, fan base as we have here. And I mean, I think Coach can say too that it's definitely not worse than NBA. Maybe even better, because we're like a little family here.
Yeah, you can sense what he's sensing when he talks about it. We all get that moment, though, where we feel that this is a special group of fans, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I mean, we talked about even the other night on the road in Colorado having a bunch of BYU blue in there. But, I mean, you know, ever since, you know, Yegor committed here, the excitement of Cougar Nation, you know, I think to get a player his caliber, and then once people started to, you know, meet him and realize how good of a guy he is and how well he fits in here, I think his popularity in Cougar Nation's even skyrocketed from there. So it's been a good marriage.
you feel the love, but you give it back too. You like to support BYU, the other teams, and be on campus and be a Cougar, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Nah, this is probably my favorite thing here, after basketball. But yeah, I mean, I love to, you know, to stay after the games as long as I can and just, you know, talk to people, meet them, and yeah, I'm enjoying to be around that.
Can you describe your childhood in Russia?
I mean, I was playing basketball since I was probably just born. So I was with the ball in my hands since I was a little kid, because all my family is basketball players. My mom played in high school. My dad played professionally in Russia. My brother also played professionally in Russia. So yeah, I started playing basketball with my brother. I didn't see my dad playing because I was born after his retirement, which I wish I could. he was also a point guard, tall point guard. At that time, he was a tall point guard. Now it's not anymore. So.
Are you taller than your dad?
Oh, yeah.
How tall is your dad?
He's like 6'5", maybe.
Which is tall, but you're a taller point guard. Yeah. Did you ever play any other sports? Was it always basketball for you?
When I was a kid, I was just telling to my parents, I don't want to play with my hands. I want to play with my legs. So I wanted to be a soccer player, which never really happened. And yeah, one time I tried to go to play hockey, which it was pretty late for me to go. I was like maybe 8 years old, and they started when they like 4 in Russia or something.
Hockey's huge in Russia.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And well, they said first that I'm too old for that to just start. Mm. But then they saw my dad, his buddy. They said we could try. Good thing that we didn't try, because I'm a little different buddy than my dad.
Do you still have skates?
Yes.
Good. Did you like playing hockey?
Well, you know, it was something that I would do when I was a kid for, you know, many times. I'm not a fan of soccer, actually. I just wanted to do something different in my family because everybody played basketball, so I was like, nah, I'm going to be different.
I hear you. You moved to Madrid, Spain. Were you 15?
Yeah.
Okay. How did that opportunity come about? How did that get proposed to you to go play in Spain?
I was playing in Russia, and to be honest, never really thought about leaving. And it was just, I was just too young for, you know, thinking about I'm going to have those type of opportunities. So I was just playing, and then we started thinking about, since my dad is a professional player, he understands that I need to do some steps, right, and get on a different level, on a better level of competition and teams and just in general, right? So we started looking for opportunities in Russia, and I had so many offers inside of the country just from older teams and professional clubs. But then somebody, there was a man who played with my dad before, back then when they were playing, and he was the one who helped us. He actually didn't know that I'm his son. So he saw me playing, and he had some connections overseas in Europe. So he's like, he just contacted my dad, and they realized that I'm his son. And they decided to do some like a mixtape or highlights or something and try to send it to teams in over the Europe.
I want to fast forward a little bit because you play for Real Madrid, which is a great club and academy. And then when it's time to take the next step, like your dad said, and come to America, well, coach, maybe you could step in and say, when was the first time you heard about Yegor, and how did that become a possibility of having Yegor come to be a BYU Cougar?
Yeah, I mean, recruiting internationally is something that always, you know, intrigued me when I was in the NBA relative to BYU. I always wondered, you know, like, why don't they go get, you know, I just thought it's a good fit culturally in a lot of ways. And so, you know, me and Tim Fanning, who I hired as one of my assistants, he had coached in Europe for a lot of years. So we put together kind of a preliminary list of some of the top young guys in Europe. Obviously, Yegor is on there. And I don't know, the more basketball is such a small world, the more we started to poke around. You know, I knew a lot of the people that were kind of in his camp and so forth. And obviously, with my NBA sort of background, they knew a lot of people that knew me, and then the world got even smaller, and then, you know, there's all these different connections, and then in short order we found ourselves on some Zoom calls. You know, his dad's a pretty hardcore dude. That was pretty intimidating on some of the Zoom calls. But no, it was good. But we I think we all really kind of We did several of them, and I think the more we kind of talked, there was a lot of just mutual respect, and it kind of moved pretty quick, actually.
Well, you've been on a lot of different basketball teams at still a young age. Now that you're a BYU Cougar, how do you like playing with these guys that have become your friends and have a chemistry with these guys that happened hopefully pretty quickly for you? How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, this is so much fun for me always. I already said it before, but it just, you know, it's more fun for me to play with the guys who's playing better than somebody I played before with, right? Just because it's better connections, better understanding of the game, it's better shooting. That's why I have so many assists here. Not because I'm passing more than in Madrid, but because people are making more. With all respect to my old teammates. But I mean, it is what it is. I think like coach can agree with me, you know, and on the next step is going to be probably even more assists. And it's because it's all about not just my passing, but how they can, you know, make the shots and from my passes. So it's just a joy to play with people that level.
Okay, before the break, I've got to take two quick questions. How do you like playing in the Marriott Center, and how do you like playing in the Big 12?
I love it. I mean, Big 12, it was one of the factor why I chose BYU. Obviously, it's the strongest conference in the NCAA, and you know, having an opportunity to play against teams like Baylor, like Arizona, like Iowa State, it's huge, and it's just gonna give me more experience than anywhere else. Marriott Center is, I already said about this 100 times, but it's just different. I mean, we already played in some of the facilities, which is also cool, but you know, it's like, first of all, it's home. It's home here, so it just feels different.
Awesome. I love it. We're glad we have you in the Marriott Center with us. I know Cougar fans love watching you play here at home. We've got more with Yegor Demin and the coach as BYU basketball, Kevin Young, continues. Stay with us. Welcome back. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Well, we are back in Studio C, and at BYU, one of their required and signature courses is called American Heritage 100. I took this class 40 years ago this year, and yes, I went and pulled my transcript out today. I checked on this. I got a C in American Heritage. BYU says, I was Canadian though, I had uphill climb. American Heritage 100 is designed to challenge students to understand the founding of America, its meaning, and its implications for your life and your community. Now, tonight's objective here on this show right now isn't as lofty or as difficult as American Heritage, but it is a challenge for someone who, like Yegor, grew up overseas. And we are calling it simply the American Quiz. So, here we go. Yegor is going to take the American quiz. Here's the deal. We're going to, and this is an easy one. We're going to show you a series of logos of well-known American brands, but we've edited out the brand name. So there's no name, just the picture. Your job is to tell us, best you can, what the company or the group is by just the brand, by the logo. We'll start with an easy one, okay? So here's your first one. We've taken out the lettering, but we're going to show, what is that?
BYU.
That's BYU. There you go. You know that very well. Yeah, so there we go. If you fill in the, you got BYU. Very well. That's how it goes. This next one, we also think it's kind of starting slow here, starting easy for you. This next one?
McDonald's.
McDonald's, yes. We're all pretty familiar with that. That's two for two. There we go. All right, this next one, again, we also think is right in your wheelhouse.
That's Nike.
That is Nike. Very good. All right, so we are 3 for 3 on the brands. They might get a little more difficult here as we go. How about this next one?
I feel like it's Ford.
Ooh. Feels like it's Ford. That's a quick answer, too. And yes, way to go.
That was impressive.
Good job, man.
I'm not good with the cars. I'm not good about the cars. So
you nailed
me.
That.
Yeah.
You nailed that. All right.
That's impressive for me, too.
This next one.
Meta.
Oh, okay, he's a kid. He knows these things. This is Meta. Yes. All right. Number 6.
That's a Walmart, I think.
Yes, that is Walmart. Yes, he's. Okay, maybe this one gets a little tougher. This is number 7. This one I had to think about for a second or two. Coach, you got it?
I got this.
Okay, we'll let Coach give the answer if he thinks he knows it. Jaeger, any thoughts?
No, I have no idea.
Coach?
Harley Davidson.
Harley Davidson motorcycles, yeah. All right, this next one is missing an important word.
Oh, I just feel like I know that, but I'm not sure what it is exactly.
You stay here long enough, you'll know it. You need a couple more years and you're, yes, this one is? Got to be Costco, right?
Costco.
Costco, yes.
I hear so much about Costco. haven't a chance yet to
You haven't gone to Costco
don't
yet?
Don't go there. Oh, not, especially in Orem, don't go there.
It is
crowded.
A whole new world, my friend. All right, logo number 9. What's the word that goes in this one? What do you think? Coach, you got this one?
I'm not actually sure here. I think someone, can I guess? Did someone say Denny's?
Not that. I don't think it's that one.
Okay.
Yegor, any thoughts?
No.
Something you wear.
Oh, Levi's.
There we go. Oh. I think we have Levi's on this one, right? Yes, Levi's jeans. Yeah. This next one, bit of a deep pull here as well.
That's a Disney, isn't it? I think.
What is it?
Disney.
Disney Plus?
Disney. Oh,
yeah, way to go. Look at that. That was a quick response, too. Yeah. Way to go. Okay.
Ooh. My wife's from the Midwest, so I definitely know this.
Yeah, she's got this right in the wheelhouse.
I saw this one. I'm not sure. What's that?
Coach will tell you.
John Deere.
John Deere. Yeah.
Tractors.
Tractors, equipment, farming machinery.
That's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
There we go. And then our last one for you. Is what I think you're going to get.
Coca-Cola.
BYU is a Coke school, so there you go. It is Coca-Cola. Well, I mean, he kind of rolled through that.
I think he needs an honorary marketing degree from BYU after that performance.
And then
good.
At least a B in American Heritage for that, for sure. All right, well done, Yegor. Thanks for playing. When we come back, we'll have questions from the studio audience for Coach and Yegor. And BYU basketball, Kevin Young continues. Stay around.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide, decode your DNA, design your destiny. Ken Garth, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
To BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A with Coach and Yegor. It's presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got our studio mic ready, and we've got questions for the coach and Yegor. First up, I think, are you James?
I am.
Go ahead, James.
Hi. Cougar Nation loves you, Yegor, but we need a nickname for you. So we were wondering if you have any Russian or Spanish favorite nicknames that we can give you.
You know, in the team I have a lot of nicknames. I have a lot of nicknames, and I'm not good with denim. I'm not good with that. So I want you guys to stop that.
Avoid that one. Avoid that one.
I'm not getting mad. It's just we are not good with that, okay? So, I mean, people in the my teammates, they call me Yeggs. I don't know. It just... Yeah.
I'm partial to that one myself.
Trey Stewart, he created like 15 nicknames. everything which is going from word eggs. And I had the eggs and steak. and it's just, yeah, I mean, that's going around our team right now. It's Yeggs or Yeggy. I don't know. Something like that.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Next question, sir.
Yegor, you kind of already answered this, but how was it like living so far away from home at such a young age?
You know, when you get this type of opportunity to go to one of the biggest clubs in Europe, it just, you know, you stop worrying about anything but trying to enjoy every moment there. Yeah, and obviously there's so much support around, understanding that I'm coming from far away, and yeah, I just love to play basketball. That helps a lot.
Okay, wonderful. Next.
Hi. I speak Chinese, so I know what it's like to know another language. So I'm just curious, you know three languages. Which one do you think in when you're playing?
That's a good question because...
Good question.
And people always ask me that. Even my parents, they still asking me the same question. I can't even answer. It just kind of combines. So I could, you know, sometimes I'm just... It even happens, like, when I'm talking to a teammate, I can just say something mistakenly in Spanish. Mm. Or good thing that almost half of the team knows Spanish. And it's pretty normal for them to, you know, they understand me. So, yeah, it's kind of everything.
What's the Russian word for basket, like you make a basket?
I hate when people ask me to say something in Russian.
Oh, no.
Because it's just so hard. It's so many words that mean the same, but it's different. And I'm just struggling. And I'm ashamed of that. So I talked to Kyle Collinsworth.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a mission.
He played in Russia,
He had a mission in Vladivostok, or like it's almost China. It's not even Russia. that far it is. And the first time I met him, he started talking to me Russian, and I just freezed. I just couldn't. You know, it's so unusual to hear somebody speak my language here in America, and in Utah there are so many people who speak Russian. And BYU, I'm every fifth fan is gonna speak Russian to me, and it's really confusing. It's hard to, you know, to kind of change the brain, mm-hmm, from English to Russian.
Switch off and switch on.
Yeah.
So, I gotcha. Last question, young man.
Okay, my name is Jonah Edwards, and this is for Igor. Who is your biggest influence in life?
My mother, my mom. That's for sure. I mean, I think it's so many people thinking the same way, but yeah, I mean, my mom means the most for me, probably, just in case of, you know, during my career. And this is why, coming back to first question, or the second, about being in Spain, being far away, yeah, just the support of my parents, of my mom, you know, even though they really far, it was helping me a lot. So, yeah.
Okay, great answers to your questions. Thank you, folks. Time for tonight's And One basketball trivia question presented by Brady Plus. Providing Jansen's food service and packaging supplies plus support, Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. Question, Fuseni Traore is currently third on BYU's career offensive rebounds list. Who is BYU's all-time leader on the offensive glass? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. Closing segment on BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus. You see the question there, the answer here. We've already talked about him on our show tonight. Mm-hmm. Kyle Collinsworth.
Wow.
307 offensive rebounds, and we basically a point guard that leads the team in offensive rebounds for a career. Pretty amazing stuff. Up next for BYU, the first of back-to-back home games Saturday against Cincinnati. This is Know the Foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. There you see some notes about the Bearcats. They're 41 in net, 44th in KenPom, so a really good square-off matchup with BYU that way. Coach, they were in the top 25 of the entire non-conference.
Yeah, returning a lot of guys. I think that's, you know, they were really well thought of, I think, early on in the year. Hit a few bumps in a row, but really, really good defensive team, you know, with some... you know, big guy that really protects the rim. They kind of take the three away from you. So we'll have to, you know, get creative on offense, play fast, and try to get out there before they get set.
That's Aziz Bandego we're talking about. And, yeah, four guys averaging double figure scoring and so good defensively. Top 10 in defensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage, a three-point percentage defense. They're really solid that way. All right, broadcast schedule for Saturday at the Marriott Center. BYU Radio, and it'll be ESPN2. for this one, for the game itself, but you'll get pregame coverage and postgame coverage on both BYU TV and BYU Radio against a late night tip, late night Eastern time, 10:30, 8:30 in the Mountain Time Zone. Yegor, it's been a pleasure having you in tonight. Thanks for coming and sharing some of your life with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank
Good you. Luck this weekend to you and Coach. And, folks, we'll see you all next week. Have a great week.